Blog Talk Radio.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahilma, sona shene voratfet hakuigegen ma'ilma.
Another edition of
Hello.
Fighting Words on the Fighting Words. Boy, Chris.
What song
Chris
was that?
Each and every night.
Was that the Italian
that
national anthem?
That was that's the Irish national anthem. I put it on early so that just had a little shake up. I want to make sure you were listening.
I went, what the hell is this? Never heard it before.
That's
got to be
the
Italian national
end.
Anthem.
Yeah,
okay.
I usually play it at the end.
Oh, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, this program is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. These are very tough times for men and women in uniform across the country, across the world. Please, please, when you go to bed tonight, if you have a minute, take a good thought for those men and women in uniform, especially those in first responders who are responding without PPE and taking their lives in their hands, just trying to help us out. Just remember one thing, freedom is not free, and the men and women in the United States Armed Forces are making it for us. So, well, I'm glad we got everybody on tonight. Zito? This big night, Bob's gonna enlighten us tonight, guys. So, Bob,
wonderful.
Bob, it was a tremendous weekend last weekend in Jacksonville. You want to bring our fans up to date on that?
Absolutely. So, MMA is back in full swing. UFC is taking off. Right now, there's a nice bloody fight on ESPN Plus, second fight of the night. We've had a fight on Wednesday and then UFC 249 on last Saturday. So hopefully all our fans that watch are seeing that, you know, MMA is the first sport back on. They're digging it. Dr. Chris, I hope you enjoyed them because Dana White has just lined up a bunch of bangers. You know what I mean? People that will just keep her on the feet. There's only been a couple fights that have gone to the ground, which has been fantastic. But, yeah, some really exciting fights the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure where you want me to start, Frank, with UFC 249 or UFC Fight Night or tonight's lineup.
Why don't you go with we'll finish up with tonight's lineup, but let's start with 249. Because there was a quickie there.
Going back to Saturday. Yeah, some amazing stuff Saturday. Okay, so going from the down up in the prelims, I want to give a shout-out to Cowboy Cerrone and Anthony Pettis. Pettis beat Cowboy. Cowboy was trying to do three fights in a week. Well, I don't think that's going to happen with the loss to Pettis, but, and he's not on the card tonight, you know what I mean? So great fight there. Then we go up to, you know, a little further in the matchups. And like I was talking to Dr. Chris and our fans that, you know, we're going to have a lot of – Dana's smart, man. He's going to put a lot of fights together that are very action-packed, lined it up. So people are really going to tune in. And oh my gosh, if you're not watching the prelims right now, there's a really bloody fight, Dr. Chris. All right. So anyway, going up the ladder to our first big one, we in UFC 249. I knew Dana was going to put, you know, there's a couple of heavyweight fights in there, because everyone likes that knockout power. And so you go up, and then you had Francis Ngannou against Jonzinho Raza. I don't know. So anyway, that was the fight, big fight, 20-second knockout, some heavyweights, just banging it up real quick, in and out. One of the toughest dudes at heavyweight right now. And if he can't get a lineup with Stipe Miocic, they're talking about giving him the interim fight, you know, interim title. So, but he went in there against Rosen Nestrick, whatever. And that guy's got a good chin. He's a great kickboxer. I mean, he's got 80 plus or more fights as a kickboxer. I mean, he was, for a heavyweight, answering with those leg kicks and stuff, that was phenomenal. But yeah, 20 seconds, bing, bang, boom, knockout. So that was exciting. I'm excited to see any fight, finish before, 59 seconds, because I lost my UFC 17 in 59 seconds, and my cousin hasn't let me live it down. So any fight that goes shorter than mine, touche. All right. And if he's listening tonight, welcome on to the program, pup. Love you. All right. So then we're going up the fight thing, working up to Drew Dober. You know, he got a phenomenal win over Alex Hernandez. I'm going to throw that out there because, he's a Colorado guy. He did really good. I'm pretty sure he's out of Colorado. Great stuff. That was a fight night. I'm jumping pages here. So, going up. So, we got Cowboy versus Cerrone, and then Francisco Ngannou versus Rozenstruik. That was the knockout. Going further up, then we got Henry, and we always mess this guy's name up here, Cojedo. He beat Dominic Cruz. No one really saw that coming. Dominic is really awesome, awesome fighter, but he's been laid off for quite some time and been announcing. So, and not taking anything from Cojedo, because, he was an Olympic gold medalist, his wrestling, he had another belt. So this kind of set him, and then he decides to up and retire afterwards. So he wants to go out on top. Props to him. Good job beating Dominic Cruz. I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you. And then we go up to the action-packed main event. With Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje, and I picked it last week. I didn't think Gaethje would be able to beat Ferguson. Boy, was I wrong. Okay, Gaethje picked everything. Landed more significant strikes. They were both just pouring it out there. But Gaethje, mad respect for Gaethje. He came through. He did what I didn't think could be done. I think he was an underdog, so some people won money on that fight. The crazy part with that, though, is Gaethje shares the same manager with Khabib. So that will be coming up. I mean, that's got to be locked down now, Gaethje versus Khabib. I don't know how they're going to work that out. But then their manager, he thinks Ferguson retired. So Ferguson, I think, is like 38, 39. And I'm telling you, once you hit 40, that light switch, I mean, this stuff hurts, man. I've been there and done that. I've tried. It just changes stuff, Your body just transforms at 40. So, maybe Ferguson decides to retire. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he wants to come back and try to get a win before he retires. We'll see what happens there. But, man, he got pelted. So that's kind of the summary there of UFC 249. And I hope everyone that tuned in was really enjoyed that fight, because I did. Great highlights.
Great. See?
I totally agree with what Bob said. Dominic Cruz, I'm going to start with Dominic Cruz. He has been laid off, and basically he's been in the commentating booth. When you're out of action like that for so long, and you're going up against a young, hungry guy, or a younger, hungry guy, once you get to a certain level, especially with, and you're not heavyweight.
because heavyweights, and you know, one, you can lay part of a glove on a guy and you'll be out. But I mean, he just seemed that you know, when you need to be sharper, you need to be sharper, and it looked like he was just a little too out of action to me. Ngannou, oh my goodness, I mean, I would like to see him against a rematch against Stipe. I think he would do better, but I can't say he would win. I mean, I like Ngannou, but Stipe, he's total package. He's sort of the total package. So, I mean, I would love to see that fight again. The Justin Gaethje Ferguson fight. Man, let me tell you, if there was ever, I think, a layoff, a time that hurt somebody, I think it might have been Tony. Ferguson, he just looked like he did not have his timing, and he was getting countered. I mean, Justin Gaethje didn't really – Gaethje's known for those leg kicks, known for those killer leg kicks, and he didn't employ them as much. He didn't even employ as much of a pressure style as Gaethje does. Gaethje, he's going to come at you kicking your legs and trying to, you know, swing it for your head. He didn't do that against Tony. He essentially kind of laid back and let Tony bring himself into the danger. Tony's tough. Tony's tough. Because a few of those times, I thought he was going to get. But his timing, I mean, he put himself a lot of times with his offense in danger. And more than danger, that hurt him a lot of times. And it just looked like his beat was off, because his timing was off. And what I didn't like, and I know Justin is a world-class wrestler, but Tony is an elite world-class submission guy, and he didn't attempt anything. I understand that you want to, you know, make it action-packed to a certain extent, but boy, I mean, around round three, he might have started trying to, you know, grab Gaethje, take him down and see what he could do on the ground, because that, I mean, on the feet, it started getting worse. So, I mean, I would like to see if Tony gets his beat back, but I can understand him retiring.
Hey, yeah, Chris.
I've been watching reruns all week. I must have seen 50 of those.
Oh yeah.
I must have seen 50 of those fights. One better than the other, because I never knew who won. It was so long ago. I got a big kick out of Shamrock and Diaz. Diaz put a licking on Shamrock, on the younger Shamrock. And then I mean there was one heavyweight. He fought as good with his hands as a professional heavyweight, a boxer. That guy was tremendous. He knocked that guy cold without kicking him once. I'm trying to think of his name. I saw so damn many, I can't remember their names. But it's been an enjoyable week. You know, there's nothing on TV, and they're very enjoyable. And when you haven't seen them for 7 years, 6 years, 5 years, it's like the first time. And then I really enjoyed the whole week. Everything was enjoyable. There's a lot of space to fill in, and they did a hell of a job. You know, I think with bringing the quadrangle back in and the NASCAR, it's all starting to lighten up, and I think we'll all be back to work soon. Pennsylvania is opening up. I'm really tired of this lifestyle of it's just really a bad, boring lifestyle, and I can't wait for anything, you know. Anything that's going to improve is great, great by me. But Bob, I did enjoy the whole thing. It's been an entertaining week, because there had to be three or four quadrangle fights compared to one boxing fight. The only decent boxing fight all week was Matisse and Matisse and. He killed that poor guy. I can't remember his name now. Christ, I saw so many of them. But it's been enjoyable. It's been enjoyable. I'm looking forward to it. Because I go all the way back to watching Gracie when he was wrestling when he was wrestling with his suit on against that big American heavyweight.
Yeah,
that's how far back I've been watching these. Christ, I thought I was going to see that one on again. What was that big heavyweight's name? The one that
he went against Ken Shamrock. He went against Ken Shamrock, the elder. And then, you know, he ended up losing to Chemo or not losing. He won, but couldn't continue. So that was when Gracie started, you know, dipping out. And that's kind of where the wrestlers kind of started getting over on the sport.
Yeah.
But, you know, highlighting what you said, like, I love the fact that the sports are coming back on, but like watching the news this morning, they just kind of, they're all talking about NASCAR starting up tomorrow and the first, you know, sport back on TV. And so they're kind of dismissing the MMA stuff. And I'd like to get a little bit further than that. You know, again, as MMA guys get passed over.
Hey, Z, let me ask you a question, Z. With Tony Ferguson taking a beating, you know, he was supposed to be the next Khabib fight. What does that do with that fight? I'll ask Z first, then Bob.
Oh, well, Justin Gaethje just pushed himself in the contention. As Bob mentioned before, they share the same manager, so that's plausible business-wise. And really, if they didn't, it's still going to be made because that fight was sort of kind of determined who's going to fight Khabib next, who's going to get that shot at the title. I think, Ferguson deserved the shot, but he lost to Gaethje. So right now, if he's not going to retire, he's going to have to, you know, kind of build, not, I don't want to say take a step back, but he's going to have to earn a victory or two before getting mentioned again.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob? 100% agree. No one really saw Gaethje beating Ferguson. Ferguson was that one matchup for Khabib that could have took Khabib out. So everyone was like, oh, that's going to happen. Then it was the COVID thing. They ended up matching, you know, getting Gaethje in there because I think Khabib's dad came down with Corona or got admitted or something. I haven't got all the details on that. But so Khabib, they're talking about the matchup coming up soon, maybe June, maybe at that Fighter Island thing that they were talking about before. I think that'll be outside on California on some Indian reservation. But whatever, until that happens, we'll get more details. But, yeah, so Gaethje and Khabib got the same manager, and Gaethje, you know, won. So they've got to figure that out. And as the rankings go, they can't just let Ferguson, you know, sweep under Gaethje. But after that loss, Gaethje's going to have to do a fight or two to get back up there. And who knows, after Gaethje's, you know, last performance against Ferguson, maybe Gaethje's got what it takes to take. I didn't think so, but maybe he's got what he needs to knock out Khabib. You know what I mean? So let's see that. I'm tuned in. I'm hooked like the Oak Island story, man. This is fantastic. It's a story that's just evolving.
How about the
Hey, Bob, who won Miosic and Varim? Who won that rematch? It was a rerun, but I couldn't watch it. I forget what happened. Miosic and Varim. I didn't think Varim was
Overeem?
Beatable. Yeah.
Alex, are you talking Mr. Overeem and Miyoki? I think Miyoki, like, Overeem's supposed to fight tonight. And I think Miyoki.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Who's he fighting?
Tonight, Overeem's going against a guy named Walt Harris. That's the main event for tonight. I have to refresh. They've already had a couple of fights, but I don't think they're on the main card yet. A couple of good fights on that tonight.
Overeem's fun. He's a fun fighter to watch because either he's going to give it to the guy or the guy's going to give it to him. I mean, he's talented, mega talented, but his cardio, I mean, around maybe the end of round one, a lot of times he gets the breathing heavy. And he doesn't catch a second wind too much, but he's kind of tinny, to be honest. I mean, Overeem, he's kind of tinny, but if you're not doing anything to him, he's doing something to you. Overeem will. I mean, he's a dangerous fighter, both ways for himself too. But he's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he brings the thunder, but I don't think he's got the best chin, just like you said, Z. So you've been watching the last week or so. What do you think, I mean, as Dana's matchups? I mean, how awesome have all these banging fights been? Like, I knew he was going to match up pretty well. I mean, there's a lot of blood, a lot of knockouts, it's been fantastic.
Well, this is how you're supposed to open it up. I mean, to be honest, if you want to get the eyes to watch anyway, I like the UFC matchups better than I like boxing matchups. Just because, I mean, really, they do have the top guys fighting each other, usually on a consistent basis. A lot of times you're going to have that one top guy, and you're going to have, you know, everybody wants a shot at him, but, you know, you have to get to him. But generally, UFC, if you have two good guys, they're going to fight. They're going to fight. Boxing, it could take years for that to happen, if ever. But two guys like that, I mean, in UFC, they're going to fight. So coming up along, what it's doing now to me is putting a mandate on the fighters. It's putting it's stepped the competition up, because now you're going to see, you know, everybody saying, well, this guy's not seeing this guy. The little bit of that I kind of see in UFC, that's going to end up being eliminated. Just off of matchups, you're going to have to fight the best.
Yeah, I mean, the way the lineouts are going and stuff, and I like, you know, I mean, they might not have had, I mean, sometimes you might have number one versus number four, or number two versus number six, or, you know, for a placement jump, but I think, this, you know, due to the COVID, Dana's done a great job just putting all these bangers together, man, to keep it all standing up as much as possible. I mean, I saw a girl win earlier on the prelims with an armbar. There might have been one ground finish at the time on Wednesday, but most of them have been KOs, TKOs. You got some guy doing a martial art thing right now on ESPN. It's just crazy, but he's done a really good job of matching up some real good, exciting fights. Again, to pull in those fans that MMA never had, maybe from boxing, maybe from, you know, other sports and stuff, and open it up. And I think he's done a fantastic job in the last week.
What about Vicente Logue and Nick Price? Did you see that one? Or Chris?
Go ahead, Z.
Yeah, I didn't happen to see that.
Okay, that was a pretty bloody fight. Also, it went to the fifth round, and Logue won. So, all right, let's. Hi, Bob. You I'm gonna give you a break here for all that talking you've had to do. See, let's go to you, and then Dr. Chris on Joseph Parker versus Lucas Brown. Suppose you the first week of August. What do you think about that?
Lucas Brown isn't bad. Joseph Parker is better. He's a better fighter, period. Lucas Brown, he's got skills, but he's also, I mean, I know Amir Mansour beat him. And he outboxed him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Amir looked good. I mean, he outboxed Lucas Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Parker is a better boxer than Amir. I mean, I like Amir, but Joseph Parker right now is a better boxer than Amir was when he fought Lucas Brown. Amir was like 43, 44, up there, something around that when he fought Lucas Brown. Joseph Parker's a younger heavyweight, bigger heavyweight. I mean, he doesn't hit as hard as Amir, but he's a more pure boxer. Lucas Brown has boxing skills, but when he reaches a certain level, he's not gonna beat some guys. Was it Dillon White who knocked him out? I think it might have been Dillon White who knocked him out. Lucas Brown, he's the guy who's on the fringe. He's not, and to be honest, I don't know how far up on the fringe he is. I don't know if I like him and he's competitive, but at this stage and right now in the heavyweights, he's not near the top tier right now. Joseph Parker, he's dangling around the top tier.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, you brought up a name we haven't talked about in a long time. Does anybody know what he's doing now?
I haven't seen Amir in a minute or two. I saw him down, he was down at gym helping us. He did some of the program. He showed up and helped us with our Gloves Against Drugs program. But I haven't seen him in a minute. We were not really operating out of the gym, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chris, what do you think about that?
Which one? Parker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're saying Parker?
Parker's been out of fight for a while. So I just wondering what your thoughts were on that one.
Well, Parker, yeah, you know what? The guy to me, he's limited. He's limited. He doesn't have – he's not aggressive enough. He doesn't want it bad enough. He doesn't come to fight. He comes just to look like to get by. I'm not really thrilled with his performances. Some young guy that's hungry, you know, could give him a hell of a fight. I hope that's what happens. But I'm not convinced. Parker's not using all of the talent that he has. I don't know whether it's his trainer or what it is, but he's lacking something. It's hard for me to put my finger on it. Other than that, he just seems like he's not aggressive. Doesn't really care or want it that bad. He's not a hungry type fighter. Just a big guy born with a lot of talent. That's all.
I could tell you what it is that you I think you're trying to say, and Ty and I say this all the time. He's a guy that when it comes down to it, it's a sport. It's a sport. To where a lot of guys they'll die in the ring. That it's a fight in a lot. A lot of guys are going to take it. It's a fight for their life. Parker, I mean, and I saw that in the Dillon Whyte fight. When Dillon Whyte was getting tired and Parker was moving around, nice and energetic, Dillon Whyte made one simple adjustment. He started every time they engaged, he would just I don't know if it was going away or coming in. However, he would punch Parker hard in the body. Real hard in the body. He'd just get one hard, maybe two hard body shots off against Parker when they engage. Around later, Parker's breathing just as heavy. And he was really, really, really noncommittal. And he lost that fight. But he really got noncommittal. And I've seen a guy who got punched into not committing. Oh, that hurts. Oh, when I do that, that hurts. It might be successful, but it hurts. This is just a sport to me. This is a sport to me. Where's the ball at? Because, I mean, Dillon Whyte's in there trying to get it, and Parker's moving around. And Dillon Whyte's smart. It's smart for that. Just because if you're tired and, you know, he's energetic, let's both be tired. How do you get it? Let's both be tired. And not only tired, he took something out of his tank, but he made him fearful. And when you see that in the guy, you saw a little bit of that in the Anthony Joshua fight, because Joshua wasn't really trying to hold him a lot of times, and he'd get inside and just protect himself. That's all he's worried about. He's not worried about his fist letting go. He's not worried about I'm in the territory I need to be in. Let's get to work. I mean, you saw a little bit of that, as I said, in the Joshua fight. In the Dillon Whyte fight, that you saw all of that. And you can see it in his eyes. You saw it in his eyes. When he started engaging, his eyes started getting wide. Started getting a little more nervous. Started, you know, doing little extra movements that he wasn't doing before. Not as smooth. So, I mean, I like Parker. Talented, and he's tough. You're not just going to knock Joseph Parker out. But he's not going to, I mean, he's not going to knock you out. He's not a hard-hitting guy, and a lot of that has to do with he's non-committal. It's a sport to him.
Right. Let me ask you, the next question I have is, there's a lot of talk right now about the Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder fight going to be in Macau now, sometime in July. Now, also in the same venue, Tyson Fury is trying to get Wilder to step aside for another fight prior to their fight. And all of a sudden, Wilder comes up with this exaggerated number that he wants to be paid. Everybody knows that there is a stipend if you're going to do that. But what's your thoughts on that, Zeke?
The rematch is going to come off. They're going to negotiate. I mean, it's always going to be promotional tactics and everything. I don't know if – I mean, really, Wilder's not going to step aside. He's not going to step aside. He's the mandatory with the – I mean, there's a rematch clause in the fight.
Right.
So, I mean, if they're going to – I mean, it's all about numbers. It's all about negotiation. But really, I don't see them having too much of a problem with that. Just because – I mean, it fought twice. They had no problems with that before. So
do you think okay, let's get back to their location now. You know, of course the handlers want to do it in Macau because they can make more money. Will that come off, do you think, or not?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they offer the money, and really, it's all about the money. And I'm pretty sure Macau, I mean, if they want the fight, they're going to have the money. Yeah, there's no problem with that.
Hey, Chris, here's one for you. Floyd Mayweather says he wants $600 million to fight to come out of retirement. Now, I know that's only a drop in the bucket of what you've got. So you could tell us what the tax break is on it.
Holy Christ! I better go look at my bank account. How much is he going on? What's he asking, Frank?
$600 million.
How much?
$600 million.
You know, what? Is he out of his damn mind? What the hell's wrong with him? Huh?
He's trying
absurd?
To be a small country.
Yeah, I mean, gracefully, he could buy Bolivia with all that money and have his own country, for Christ's sake.
South America.
Be out of his damn mind. Yeah. This country's for sale in South America cheaper than that. I mean, Floyd Mayweather got to remember one thing. He's a great boxer, but he's not a really exciting guy to watch. You know, if he likes to watch shoulder feints and different movements, defensive movements, that's fine. But that, I mean, he's just absolutely crazy. He even mentioned that. I wouldn't be able to get the words out of my mouth for something that ridiculous, you know? So what the hell? He can say what he wants to say. He's just crazy. I think he's just looking for some notoriety, get his name back in the mix of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's not sure. I don't even think he believes that himself. Somebody would pay that.
Yeah.
You know? What the hell? Yeah.
Bob, you've had,
so
you've
just, I would take that like Adrian Broner. When Adrian Broner says something, I would put that on a par with Adrian Boner or something like that. You know?
Bob, you've had a chance
not,
to do
know.
That.
Yeah, $600 million. Give me a boner. What?
Yeah, I'm sure. All right. Here's a question for you, Bob. Khabib versus KG this summer at Fight Island. Can that take off or not?
I think that's happening. They're just going to have to negotiate that because, you know, they're sharing the same manager, so I don't know if he's going to take, you know, 5% off each one of their purses or what. You know, but whatever. They'll put that together. The money's right. They're just trying to get, you know, Khabib's got, you know, rumor has it, you know, and I don't know what's coming out from other countries. I can only take it with a grain of salt. But Khabib's dad's got the corona and some other people in his camp, so he's got to work through
right.
that. So that kind of, you know, delayed him and stuff. So the matchup, Ferguson-Gagey goes on. they've already started talking about it. as far as, you know, being on Fight Island with both of them. So I think that's going to move forward, you know, as long as the corona thing and the travel and everything works out, that'll happen. I do want to throw back, you know, talking about Mayweather, you know, wanting $600 million. Did you guys see the article about Tyson giving Conor a bunch of props for actually standing in there against Mayweather? So that was a big deal. Mike Tyson looking great, 50 or whatever, you know. You know, talking about a comeback, he's got offered for bare knuckles. Again, everything's kind of segueing over to MMA, which I dig, you know what I mean? Because I can't outbox a boxer, you know what I mean? There's a lot of guys that just can't. I love hearing Dr. Chris talk about how, you know, a lot of these fights are looking good. Like, they could step in and do some cross training and go over to some cross fights. And we've got some heavyweights and some lightweights that could go over and do a pretty good job. But they are used to using, you know, kicks, knees, and elbows and stuff. So it's coming full circle. And if they can kind of start mixing that money, which I'd like to see kind of go over to the MMA guys, because they put in a lot of time and effort, and they train just as hard. So I'd like to see that. So if Mayweather does get a comeback, it may very well be, maybe that's what Conor's training towards. You know what I mean? Trying to get a second shot at that. And maybe that's the comeback. And they you know, they got a lot of money. What was it when Mayweather fought Pacquiao? Like, they already made more than that night, one country in a year. Like, that, I can't fathom that amount of money. You know, it's just, it doesn't make sense to me what's going between, you know, the first world countries, you know, for a sporting event, and you've got people out there struggling. I mean, like, I don't get it, but whatever, is what it is. So I'd like to see, you know, I definitely think that's going to happen on that Fighter Island. I think Dana really wants to get that Fighter Island going, just in case anything ever happens again. He's got a lockdown spot if anyone gives him some BS. You know what I mean? I think that's what's happening. I think Dana is so tired of the rigmarole of answering to the boxing commission and other things, and, you know, all this stuff. If he just does his Fighter Island thing, he can kind of get away with, let's say, murder. You know what I mean? Like, he can do anything he wants over there. So we'll see if that, you know, I'm pretty sure that will come about.
Okay. Well, you know, this week, I'm going to ask Chris the second one, because I know his answer on it. Bob Arum, Z, had come out this Wednesday, said that a Tyson Fury exhibition with Mike Tyson would be the largest pay-per-view buy, and he thinks that it should happen. He wants to put it together. What's your thoughts?
Let me tell you something. Bob Arum says a lot of things, but money makes anything possible. And if there's a demand to see Mike Tyson, the two Tysons get in, then that's good. Then it can happen. Floyd got in there with Conor McGregor. There was a demand. There was talk. There was hype. Next thing you know, the money was on the table. It happened. After that happened, there's no question in my mind that Tyson Fury and Mike Tyson could get in the ring right now.
Anything's possible.
Anything. Yeah. So I'll be really I hope it's an exhibition. I mean, really, an exhibition in the truest terms, just because you don't want to see anyone get hurt. And I mean, before any of this, even the exhibition, I would like to see Mike Tyson fight way lesser competition, because if he's fighting anyone, that's automatically generating multi-million dollars. Automatic. Mike Tyson's name, him fighting. Oh, man, he's automatically going to generate that kind of money. So, I mean, I would like to see him take it slow.
Yeah. What do you think, Chris?
You know, I just can't. Mike Tyson's got to remember one thing. You know, he didn't look good he didn't bow out gracefully, looking good. He got his butt kicked his last three or four fights. What the hell makes him think, or Bob Arum? Well, Bob Arum, he just agree no good has to be. You know what I mean? He just he's a whatever he where he can make a dollar. Look out! That's all he cares about. But I think Tyson ought to. He's going to get a lot of things thrown at him, but he's got to use his head. He's not in the category of fighting Tyson Fury. What's he got left? He's a very short fighter, a small heavyweight. And then Tyson Fury can take a punch. I think it would be. I think Tyson would get the hell beat out of him. Truthfully, he's. You know, he didn't look good his last five fights. That's 10 years ago, 12 years ago. What the hell is he going to do now? Father Time catches up with you. And he's got to realize that. If he can make some money accidentally, you know, if he can sucker the public in to pay big money once or twice, you know, that's fine. But it's not going to happen often. I think he'll get exposed real quick. That he's 53 years old, and that's there's no way he can hide it. The man he can look quick, and you know he's hitting the mitts. You know he does take that beautiful step to the left, come back with that left hook. But you know, Tyson Fury's a huge man. He's got a good jab.
Right.
He's not going to be there. I'm not saying you know that a little luck could do him some good, but I think he ought to use his head, just sit back, take these offers, be thankful that he had the career he did. You know, maybe take one shot, and that's it, because he's going to get exposed that he's not the Mike Tyson of old, and he's not George Foreman. George Foreman was a different type fighter. And how old was George when he won the title back, 43 or so?
40, I think it was 44.
44,
43,
yeah.
44, yeah. You know, Tyson's got 10 years. And Tyson counted on speed. He counted on hand speed, foot speed. And I don't think he has it anymore. I don't know of a man 53 that's retained all of his, you know, foot speed, hand speed. It just doesn't happen. So I think that if Mike can make a buck or two, more power to him. I'd be the first guy watching him. But He wouldn't get me more than once. I think he couldn't fool the public more than once, and that's about how you know how I feel about it. And Bob Arum, he'll do anything for a buck. You know, we all know what he is, and you know he's trying to see what he's trying to put the fight out there to see if there's any interest in it, demand, and then he would love to put the match on. But I think that if Tyson Fury wants to take an interim match and mess up the Dante Wilder fight, I don't think Dante Wilder is going to approve of it or go for it. He's anxious to get in there and get it over with. He took a hell of a beating. I never saw a guy more depressed after a beating than him, and. I think that he's anxious to disprove that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing that he got knocked out. It'll never happen again. So I don't think they're going to let Tyson Fury do any of that crap. You know, if he's controlling things, he's not going to let it happen.
Zeke, Eddie Hearn has come up with a practice facility. On the property of his matchbox there. He's also claiming that during this summer, he's going to hold four behind closed doors events in July and August, and that it's going to be top-notch fighters. What's your thoughts?
He better do the matchmaking that MMA is doing, that Dana White's doing. First of all,
right.
You can have top-notch fighters, but right now you're competing. You're competing in the back right now. UFC has a jump on things. People are starving to see boxing too. The thing is, you just can't put anything on. Not right now. Boxing right now needs good matchmaking too. If you don't have good matchmaking in boxing coming out, then you're really going to hamper the process. You're going to hamper the matchmaking when it comes up. Because now everything else is going to come out, and you expect, right, everybody's waiting for sports. The first thing they see is UFC, these guys standing, banging, matching, you know the names, and you know, that's what you need. Boxing, you don't need to have one guy, oh, there's this guy, and he's fighting, who's that guy? You don't need that right now. In my opinion, you don't. My fear is that you're going to have that. That's exactly what you're going to have. Eddie Hearn, he's not quick to match his prime guys against each other, first of all. With that being said, you can have guys whose names aren't the most recognizable. It's good matchmaking. You can do that. I heard this guy. The general public might not have heard of him. I heard of this guy, so this should be a good fight. You know, that's what you want. I mean, if you're not going to have the top guys fighting each other, you need good fights, good matchmaking. And I don't know if Eddie Hearn is willing to put certain fighters out there to do that. So I just hope that he's going to just have good matchmaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's talking about Joshua and Pulev as one of the fights. Do you see that happening? I mean, he's been trying to put that together for a while and hasn't been very successful. Do you think that'll happen this time?
I believe it can happen. I believe that when I think Joshua should be one of the guys coming out first. He's a statement fighter for Hearn Stable. And they have been clamoring for the Pulev fight. That is the best right now that they're going to get. Now you have Dylan White in the wings, who really deserves a shot. To me, he really deserves a shot. But right now, and it's apparent, Anthony Joshua's going to be pretty protected. Now Pulev, he's an older guy. He's past his peak. Not to say anything. He's pretty good past his peak. But if Joshua get lays gloves on him, Pulev is not going to take his shot. Not in my opinion. Now, I'm not going to say that Pulev can't lay a glove on Joshua. Pulev's a big guy, too. He's not as big as Joshua, but he's a big guy, too. So if he gets at Joshua, Joshua's to me, chinny. Joshua, he had him and Overeem. He's almost a boxing version of Overeem to me. He's a big guy who, when he touches you, he's technically sound. Overeem is a bit more crafty, smoother in what he does. I mean, different type of combat sport, combat competitions. But they have each other's weaknesses and strengths to a degree. They're both fundamentally sound. They both will run out of wind, and they both are chinny. Joshua. I just don't see him. Like, Pulev has a chance to knock Joshua out. I wouldn't say that, like, against Deontay Wilder. I would say he has a very slim chance to knock Wilder out. Against Tyson Fury, I say he has a slimmer chance to knock Tyson Fury out. Anthony Joshua, he has a pretty good chance to knock Joshua out. Just because he's a big guy who's been in the ring, he's seasoned. But, I mean, I'm just really, really, really not sold on Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Bob. You've got more time to breathe there now. It's your turn. Has Anthony Smith woken up yet?
Anthony Smith, as far as tonight. There's been some great fights tonight. I kind of got it going in the background. I can't watch everything and still concentrate. But Anthony Smith, wasn't he on Wednesday?
Yeah, he had Glover. Was it Teixeira?
Teixeira.
Yeah. So, okay. Teixeira. So he was on UFC Fight Night. Yeah. Okay. So catching back in with that. There were some good fights on Wednesday. Working out of that, going from the bottom to the top. I'm going to throw out a shout out to Drew Dober, Colorado guy. I know his coach, or one of his coaches. Good stuff, exciting win over Alexander Hernandez. That was fantastic. Ben Rothwell won over Ovince St. Whatever. Rothwell's a big slugger. And then going on to Anthony Smith. You know, Anthony apparently broke his hand during that fight. But anyway, you know, that was, you know, Grover Teixeira versus Anthony Smith. Now, Anthony Smith, everyone kind of thought it started going that way. And he came out round one and looked dynamic. Like, there was no way Grover was going to come out of that. And I thought it was going to be over real quick. But then rounds two kind of switched into three. And so Teixeira got a fantastic chin. He stayed in that and came out on top, man. Again, one of those things that no one saw coming, just kind of like Ferguson Gaethje. And Teixeira just, man, he manhandled him at the end. I mean, I was, you know, again, I didn't see it going that way. He came out, did everything right, correct. Apparently his cardio wasn't there. I don't know how training's going for these guys with during this COVID, how you're getting your wind, because, you know, you can go out and jog 10 miles. You can go out and run, you know, three or sprint. But when you get in there and there's hands coming at you, that's a totally different cardio, man. And so and that's where I kind of think, that, you know, talking about Ferguson last Saturday, that right. you don't push yourself like that. And, you know, it's one thing going in there and throwing some heavy mitts and getting worked out and, you know, having the coach occasionally go over your head. But everything's tough until someone gets punched in the mouth. Anthony Smith did his best. I thought it was just going to be a smash over come round one. But two and three have changed everything, and way to go to Dover. I mean, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, which you're referring to what I like to call psychological cardio. It's one thing. I mean, as I say, when you're in a sport, you're breathing, but you learn how to breathe and relax with a ball, with timeouts available, with teammates. And combat sports, you have no luxury. So you have to really, really, like, you have to, like, it's pressure. It's no other pressure than what's going on in a combat sport. And as I'm going to continue to say, people don't realize the object of any combat sport is to incapacitate the other human being as quickly and efficiently as possible. That's the object. It sounds gruesome, but that's what it is. And while the other person, a trained person, is trying to do that to you, that's psychological. And even in situations where people walking around, and like if you're walking down the street and a car accident happens, bang, you jump up psychologically just off of that. Your breathing quickens, your muscles stiffen. So just imagine somebody trying to knock your head off. You have to learn how to breathe properly and relax during those conditions. That takes training. That takes a lot. It takes a lot. So when you're functioning like that, I mean, a lot of fighters have wonderful cardio. They can run and they can do this for days. But really, and this is what worries me about nowadays with fighting, how much sparring are guys really getting? I mean, how much contact sparring are they really getting? Because
during
COVID, Yeah, exactly. Because that sparring helps you out. You need to spar before fighting. As Bob said, a coach could move the mitts around your head. You could punch this, you could punch bags and kick, the pads. The thing is this: when somebody's coming back at you, that's what you're going to have to operate under. And the more you're under those conditions, the better you're going to be when those actual conditions really come, really matter. So,
So we got one last
one. You take any sprinter, you take any football guy, and they can outrun me. But you punch them in the mouth a couple times, they get real slow, real quick. You know what I mean? It's a different thing. I mean, that's why I love working with the guys, you know, the special forces and the wounded warriors. I mean, these guys had to stay calm under real life violence, you know what I mean, or scenarios. And I can relate to that. You know, I've never been in combat, and my hat's off to these guys, but I've been in, like, some wars, if you will, you know what I mean, to the point where you're basically fighting for your life. So everything changes when, you know, altitude training, you can have the best cardio in the world, but if someone hits you right, let's go eighth grade science, someone punches you with a cross right in the xiphoid process, right above the diaphragm, and you can't breathe anymore, and you know what I mean? It don't matter how far you can run, okay? Because you can't get out of that 12-foot ring or that 30-foot octagon fast enough. You know, so it's a whole new world, when you start getting hands put back on you, and these guys need to have that to push forward with this whole COVID thing. So my hats off to all the fighters, all the athletes pushing through all this stuff.
Okay, Chris, we're gonna bring you in on this one. Javonte Davis and Leo Santa Cruz is a priority of Showtime. One, do you think it'll go off? And two, who do you think would be the victor?
Well, you know what? I think it's a great match. Both fighters like to fight. They don't come to be Willie Pep. They don't want to go down in history as another Willie Pep. They come to fight. Davis wants to prove himself. He's a young guy. He hasn't had a hell of a lot of title experience. But he's a rough guy, a short guy. It looks like he could be outboxed, but he's harder to outbox than you think. He's right in front of you, man. He's a good fighter. And then Santa Cruz is a hell of a fighter. I mean, he's there all the time throwing. He never gets tired. He's got a good job. He's actually a tall, rangy guy for that weight division. And I think it's got the makings of a good fight. There's a little bit of boxing in it, and there's a lot of slugging in it. It's got the best of both worlds. So I think that we're really – this Davis has created a lot of fans for himself. He looks good. So I hope the fight comes off, and it should come off soon because it's a good payday for both guys, especially Davis. He's been fighting in Baltimore. He hasn't made any big money. So he's ready to step into that class. But I like him, and I like Santa Cruz. I think it's a great match. It's got the, you start thinking about it. Can Santa Cruz outbox him? Because he does like to fight and come into you. And Davis can't wait for you to move into him so he can, you know, he's a hell of a body puncher and a hell of an uppercut, a hell of a guy inside. He throws well inside. So I think it would be a great fight. I'd love to watch it.
I agree with Dr. Chris. The only thing is Santa Cruz is a naturally smaller guy. He's going to end up moving up to 140. Santa Cruz is not. He's not the most natural 130 pounder. But the most I can say is this: if Javonte's doesn't knock Santa Cruz out, I hate to say it, I like both fighters, but I just don't see Javonte's beating Santa Cruz if he's not knocking him out. Santa Cruz is fundamentally insane. He's not quick. He's not strongest, not the one punch knockout guy. But Santa Cruz can do everything. He can box from range. He can box from inside. That's going to be a problem for Tank. If Javonte's isn't knocking Santa Cruz out, he has to deal with Santa Cruz, especially on the inside. as a fight goes, does he have the cardio Santa Cruz has? Gervonta is an explosive fighter. And with explosive fighters, they fight in bursts. Santa Cruz, he's a diffuser. He's going, I mean, that's what he diffuses your burst. Whatever he, if he needs to step back and jab a little bit, he's not the fastest guy, but you're going to have problems coming in on him without getting hit. Santa Cruz has a heck of a chin. So does Gervonta's, but Gervonta's isn't, I mean, he's, for the most part, he's not a guy I'm really going to get hit flush. I've seen get hit real flush by anybody who's going to be to do anything to him. Santa Cruz is not the hardest hitting guy, but, I mean, he's a consistent hitting guy and very respectable with his power. I just think Santa Cruz would be too much for him. Granted, the weight isn't too much.
Good. All right, guys. Well, we've come up against our time limit here. Bob, again, thank you for all your preparation this week, and we really really made a taskmaster out of you. But you did a great job, and, as always. Chris,
well, thank you. Thank you for backing me up. And Chris coming over. I mean, MMA made a shout out this week, but, you know, it looks like NASCAR is going to take over. I don't even know what's coming up next to the UFC, but he did those. He did what he said, 3 fights in a week. So there we go.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Yep. As always, love being on.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Chris, thanks a million for everything. We appreciate it. Hope everything goes well on Tuesday. I'll give you a call later on in the week.
Yeah.
And talk to you.
Yeah, I got a new doctor, Vinny Boombatz. He used to take care of Rodney Dangerfield. You know, we're going to see what he can do to me Tuesday. We'll see what he's got left. All right, guys.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Right.
Talk to you
take
next
it
week,
easy,
now.
Dr. Chris.
All right.
Okay. Z, you want to lead us out?
Sure do. Another wonderful show. I would like to thank Bob, Dr. Chris. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob and Coach Mel. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch.
Z, I want to thank you again for all the background material you bring to the show every single week. And I know you don't have any notes. It all comes from the brain. And I sure as hell wish Sister Geraldine was around to be able to listen to you today. The man that you've become.
Oh, yeah.
Something
thanks.
That we are
thanks.
Very proud to say. Yeah, you're part of our family. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please make sure that you know them. Let them know that you know they're there. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Bainger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Nanafa Chrisman, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogo, Longwood Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wellington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Hope Hardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highland County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerber, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Deputy Sheriff, Officer Bob McKetchin, Plexi, Kentucky Police Department, and Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sunshine lightly on your feet, on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
Shem alek ma yelama, Shem ahezah yelama, Son Hashem evorat fed, Hakuig again ma yelama.
Responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.